Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a fantastic Friday, and we wish you and your loved ones a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Well, it is always a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row Bill Emmendorfer, the former All-SEC guard at the University of Tennessee, and the president and CEO of the North Springs Center for Rejuvenation. Bill, it's funny. I know when it's cold outside, you want to say, wow, it's cold, but you've been to a place colder than that, like minus 167 degrees cold.
Yeah, you have. It's like colder than going to Antarctica, but it does a lot of good for you. And, you know, sometimes folks have a hard time coming to the cold when it's a cold, damp day like today, but it actually does you a lot of good, because it helps your aches and pains and helps boost your immune system. But, you know, today has been one of those days outside that I guess it's the humidity, but it just seems like it's a lot colder than it is, and it's bone chilling almost. But it's good to come in and use cryotherapy and use some of the other services we offer at North Springs. So I appreciate you guys and your support that y'all have given us through the years, and being neighbors just a stone's throw away, I guess a good nine iron you could probably get from your studio to our cryo chamber.
Well, any specials or any deals you want to talk about as we get into the first few days of 2021? Because you know I'm going to ask you a bunch of Tennessee stuff.
Well, yeah, right now we're running a special with the Hydration Nation, the IV folks that are with us, and we're running a discounted special for our immunity package, which is three visits to the cryo chamber and immunity boost from Hydration Nation, which is a cocktail of vitamins and minerals that help boost your immune response. And, you know, right now people are kind of conscientious about what's going on because so many people are coming down with COVID or other things. And we're not saying we can cure it because we're not, or we can prevent it because we can't, but we can sure help you with your immunity to it or to other things and help you feel better when you don't feel well. So that's what we're offering right now. And it's a good time to call down there and schedule an appointment for both. And right now that's our special this month.
Bill, these are, like I said, these are certainly interesting times in Knoxville. I mean, earlier today, Tennessee made official the Virginia Tech graduate transfer quarterback, Hendon Hooker. Tennessee officially announced him as a graduate transfer today. But to me, the most unique part about it was there was just in this random release like you see that comes from Tennessee and all these SEC schools all the time, you did have a quote from Jeremy Pruitt, you know, just talking about his excitement about Hendon joining the Tennessee football family this semester. Hendon is a very talented quarterback and dynamic quarterback with multiple years of Power 5 experience. You know, it's a little more to the quote, but then you start to realize you're like, wow, that's the first time, even in a release statement, that's the first time we've heard from Jeremy Pruitt since they got in the Liberty Bowl. And, of course, I know Pruitt tested for COVID and they pulled out the next day, but it's just incredibly quiet up there right now on both the Pruitt front and the Fulmer front.
Yeah, it's tough times. I was talking to a former high university administrator earlier today, and we were talking about that. And one of the things we said is we were glad that we weren't the athletic director at UT right now, because Phillip's facing some challenges and Jeremy's facing some challenges. And, you know, I think a lot of things hinge on going through this investigation, this internal investigation, and figuring out the breadth and depth of what's at stake here. And then the other thing is, you know, you better have a plan, because, you know, we've kind of been a train wreck for a long period of time. I mean, really, you know, since Phillip's last year to go back that far, and from that point forward, it's been a mess. And you know, at that time, it might could have been avoided had Mike Hamilton taken a different course of action with Phillip, and and Philip got some of the old guys back together. Because when you look at the guys we had, guys like Dan Brooks and those guys who coached other places and led them to championships, I think it was salvageable. Now you've really got to rebuild the program, and we've gone in so many directions that we've got to get back or we're going to become totally irrelevant. I mean, I have grandchildren that don't understand what Tennessee football is supposed to be. And then the other thing is, thank goodness we're in the SEC, because financially, football is the engine that pulls the train. And, you know, we've got a great basketball program right now, but financially that doesn't get it. And, you know, the football program has got to be competitive, and we simply haven't been competitive. Now, you know, what happened this year, it's hard to understand. What's happening with the transfer portal, it's hard to understand. What's happening with assistant coaches leaving, it's hard to understand. You know, so there's a lot of dynamics, but we need to get them resolved sooner rather than later. And whatever way we go, you know, we need to make some decisions and move forward. And whether it's Jeremy stays or Jeremy goes, we need to make a decision. You know, when you don't make a decision, the decision is kind of made by default. And Jeremy Foley, when he was at Florida, had a saying. He said, if the decision is imminent, the action should be immediate. Well, I don't know. It's not my pay grade if the decision is imminent, but there should be a decision one way or the other. And maybe the decision depends on how involved Coach Pruitt was in these infractions and how significant these infractions are. And then what ramifications does that have financially as well as from a leadership role? I don't know. So those are questions that will have to be answered, and answered quickly, I would hope.
Bill, when you think about, because, you know, even before you played in Knoxville, I mean, in the early 60s, Tennessee went through a mediocre stretch. And then when I became just a college football junkie, it was around the time, you know, Bill Battle was transitioning into Johnny Majors, and there were four or five tough years there. But when you think about, you know, Tennessee's like 78 and 82 since Phillips last year. So we're talking about 12 or 13 years now where I guess like a 9-win Outback Bowl under Butch Jones has been as good as it's been. And as a result, when you have a year like this year, I mean, coming off an 8-win last season and you only come up with 3 wins this year, I just think it's wearing on everybody. And you hear people, you know, say, I'm kind of done with it, or maybe that's at the strong end of it. They say they're done with it. But, you know, how much apathy are you encountering from longtime Tennessee fans or maybe former teammates because this has been far different, as we've talked about, from just a 3 or 4 year run of mediocrity. I mean, we're talking more than a decade now.
Well, it is. And you got to, you know, you look at the events that occurred, and there's two or three events at the university that occurred. And one is there's been a kind of a revolving door of leadership at the university, both at the presidential level and at the AD level. And if you look at from the time Coach Dickey left till now, you've had multiple presidents that have had different visions for the university, and a lot of them didn't understand the roles of athletics and academics and how they come together, and that was confusing, you know. And then you had athletic directors, you went from Coach Dickey, who was very strong. I'm convinced that Coach Dickey had been the athletic director through several of those administrations. None of this would have occurred. I'm convinced that Dickey been there, the Pearl stuff wouldn't have occurred. But he wasn't there, and it did. In the same way with the revolving door of football coaches. You know, we made bad decisions. And, you know, one thing that Alabama did, and Coach Battle and I talked about it, when they went out to get Saban, they were in trouble. They were kind of like we are now, not quite as long a period of time, but they were in a similar situation.
Right.
And they made a decision of what they had to do, and they were going to do anything it took to get there. And it worked out for them. And you know, I think one of the things that hurt us was when Mike Hamilton hired Bruce Pearl, he he kind of hit an up-and-comer. And Bruce came in and turned the basketball program around. And then we sort of tried to do that again with football when he dismissed Phillip. And probably Kiffin, it was an up-and-comer who was probably too immature at the time. Hire Kiffin now would probably be okay. Hire Kiffin then, he had a great staff and those guys coached, but they were probably he was probably too immature for the magnitude of the job, quite frankly. Then he went through this revolving door of simply hires that weren't very good. And you know, I'm not knocking the individuals as position coaches or as coaches in a lesser league, but both Dooley and Butch were just in over their head when they got here. And we made kind of knee-jerk hires. And there were things that happened. And we did the same thing in basketball with Donnie Tindall. You know, we hired people that didn't meet our culture and our tradition. And I think whatever you do with Jeremy, I think this if you keep him, you better support him. If you dismiss him, you better hire the right guy. And you better pick somebody that can survive in this league, and you better get somebody that's proven, because you're taking it's a crapshoot when you hire an assistant. It's like Coach Battle said when we hired Jeremy. He said, you know, Bill, it's a big step from the second seat to the first seat, and when you look at it, even under Saban's guys, there's a lot of guys who were in the second seat under Saban that have failed in the first seat. I mean, Muschamp's a prime example. And there's a lot of guys that coach for other people. There's a lot of guys that coach for Coach Bryant when he was there that failed. And so there's a big jump. So you better have somebody that's proven. And you know, there's not too many guys out there that are proven. But if you're in a desperate situation, you better back the truck up and go get you one of them. And that's kind of where I think we are. You know, we fell into Rick Barnes. And you know, when you look at the University of Texas, they had Mack Brown and they had Rick Barnes, and they got rid of both of them. So you talk about people being just going brain dead, they really went brain dead. you know, they did it worse than we did. You know, we ended up getting Barnes because Texas got rid of him. And you know, we need to find the next really good coach that has the resume, or somebody that's older that can resurrect the program. You know, one of the two, but we need to get somebody, you know, he wouldn't come, but you need to, you know, a guy like Cutcliffe. I mean, Cutcliffe was instrumental in a lot of Phillips' success. I mean, I think David's the best quarterback coach in the country. His quarterbacks develop, they get rid of the ball fast. You know, he's had a tough place to win big. You can win at Duke, you can win anywhere. You know, you've got guys like that out there that, you know, you've got, you know, I don't know if Fickell is a guy. You know, he's coming from Cincinnati. He's a Midwest guy. I don't know if he's the right mix. You know, I think you've got to have somebody that's fought the battles in this league. It's just different. I mean, look at Beamer. I mean, he went to Arkansas and it didn't work out. He came from a different league, a different culture. And a lot of people that come from, you know, from a group of five school, they get here and it doesn't work because of the nature of what goes on in this league and the physicality of it. That's changing the subject. That's my biggest gripe about Ohio State, and I think they're very talented. Maybe we'll talk about them in a minute. But the biggest advantage they had is they didn't get beat up on you. You play 11 games, you play 10 games or 11 games in the SEC, and by the end of the year, everybody on your team is playing hurt. I promise you. Everybody's beat up. And you just don't recover as well from that. But we got to find if we're going to make a change, we got to find the right guy. And if we're not, the worst situation to be in is to have a lame duck football coach.
Well, Bill, listen.
That,
We got to wrap it up. You're great, and we could talk to you all day long. But we've got to hit. Unfortunately, in this business, we got to hit our commercial break. So you are fantastic. We always enjoy having you on. Go see the North Spring Center for Rejuvenation. Like Bill said, it is right around the corner from us. Bill, we always enjoy talking football. Thank you for all that you do, and we'll talk to you next time. And I'll already get the questions lined up for you because you're great.
Well, I'm sorry I got carried away. We didn't get to the championship game, but I hope everybody enjoys it Monday night.
Right.
And I have to bite my lip, but I hope Alabama prevails. But anyway.
All right. Bill, thank you. Great stuff as always. Enjoy. All right, 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.